Hello and welcome to Eden Exchanges, the business journey podcast by Eden Exchange. My name is Ben Madden and I'm the digital marketing specialist here at Eden Exchange. Today, we spoke to Ziggy Maravich, the National Franchise Recruitment and Development Manager at Couriers Please. Listener Ziggy discusses how he became involved with Couriers Please, what a day in the life of a Couriers Please franchisee looks like, the many benefits of becoming a Couriers Please franchisee, and so much more. Keep listening to learn all about Couriers Please right here on Eden Exchanges.
All right, welcome everyone. My name is Raghu from Eden Exchange. Today, our special guest is Ziggy Maravich. He's the National Franchise Recruitment Development Manager at Couriers Please. Thanks a lot for joining us today, Ziggy.
No problem at all.
Excellent stuff. Now, firstly, could you start off by telling us a bit about your background and how you first became involved with Couriers Please?
I come from, I suppose, humble beginnings in another area. So I was actually a qualified chef. I did that for 10 years and was just looking for something more Monday to Friday. I got a little bit tired of weekend work and split shifts that sort of like go around in that type of work environment, and wanted something strictly Monday to Friday. Came across Couriers Please via an ad, and I actually became a franchisee myself in 1993. Did that for 10 years. And then during that process, I was asked by the then state manager whether I was interested in becoming a franchisee career trainer with Couriers Please, at which I thought, okay, I'll give it a shot for about a year or so, just do something else, and just pretty much progress from there to different other middle management roles here in Melbourne, and was then offered a position of the state customer service manager, held that for about 2 years, and then some small national roles sort of crept in as well. And during this whole period, I did some obviously extra courses in warehousing and distribution and so on. And I've been with the company as an employee for 20 years plus 10 years of franchisee. So 30 years is my current tenure, which I think it'll be this year in September.
Excellent. Always fantastic to hear about how different people became involved with franchise systems and the journey within the organizations. Now, can you tell me a little bit about Couriers Please and how it actually differentiates itself from other franchises in the market? Any advantages do you think it offers to potential franchisees?
Well, look, one of the main advantages is our low investment coming into a franchise with Couriers Please. You're looking at something between $50,000 to $70,000, which will include most of your equipment, that being a van. And then again, you can choose what type of van you want. It doesn't have to be brand new. You also can pick, obviously, the territory that you wish. The territories can range from as low as $10,000, let's say, or the goodwill, to as high as nearly $400,000. It just depends, obviously, on that particular territory. And another difference is that there's no commission for Couriers Please us, franchise, or once a franchise partner actually sells their territory somewhere down the track, whenever that may be. Some of our competitors have a percentage, could be as high as 30% of that goodwill. So with us, again, we don't apply that type of rule. And that's the backbone of our business, is that goodwill. So therefore, whatever you pay to get into the franchise as a goodwill amount, you were expecting to obviously receive a lot more on your way out. And again, it's all your net money, if I can call it that, at the end. And during that whole progression of obviously generating new business and obviously increasing your income on a week to week or even a month to month basis. And I suppose the third thing is that, well, you have the tools and the support from a sales perspective in regards to buyers that we have for customers and sales teams to help you generate new customers. And you could literally do that on a week to week basis. So to increase whatever your weekly earnings are is really up to yourself. Unlike a wage and salary earner or an employee of a company, if you get a pay rise, yep, it's good. If you're happy, might be as low as 1% or maybe 3% if you're really lucky on any given year. But with franchising, you can literally give yourself a pay rise on a week to week basis and hit quite high heights. And we have a lot of franchisees in our system where they are on average earning well between anywhere between $3,500 to $5,500 per week. And the opportunity is there literally for almost all territories to get to that particular
level. Fantastic. Now, can you describe the day-to-day activities for a Couriers Please franchisee?
So with us, we operate a hub and spoke system. So there's no point-to-point or any type of ad hoc type of work. All of our franchisees own a territory, as most franchises do, but they start early in the morning in their designated depot. It's usually a 6:30 a.m. start where they'll spend about 45 minutes sub-sorting items themselves and scanning it on board. From there, they'll leave the depot roughly any time before between 7:30 a.m. and 8 a.m. They will then travel to their territory, and their territory can be as small as half a suburb. It may even consist of several suburbs, just depends on how it's been sliced and diced in the last 40 years. And I'll do a combination, and I'll pick up some deliveries for about 3.5 hours. Then I'll come back to the depot, offload whatever pickups they picked up during that first cycle. They will then get the next wave of deliveries. They have a bit of a break as well. Then they'll drive out back to their territory once again around about the 1 o'clock mark, spend the next 3.5 to 4 hours doing, again, a combination of pickups and deliveries, then returning to the depot anytime after 4 p.m. Offload those pickups and whatever deliveries they may not have got off, and then from there go home. So they would obviously come to the depot 3 times a day, and they'll be in their area twice a day. There are some runs where it's only once a day. They are usually the ones that are further out, more like outer rim areas, where once they leave in the morning, they'll just stay there for the whole day and literally return towards the end of the day and just follow that process. I'll just attend the depot twice a day and their actual territory only once a day. And that would be a typical day for all our franchisees or our franchise partners.
Excellent. Now, obviously the opportunity is there. Now, what do you look for, or any particular qualities you're searching for with potential franchisees? And how do you ensure that they're a good fit for Couriers Please?
That's a great question. Look, anybody in the franchising industry will tell you, you always want a go-getter, someone who's switched on and obviously wants to grow the business and so on. For me to sort of like find out whether that person is that way inclined, for me it's all about during that interview process, whether they've completed some type of due diligence in regards to what else is out there, what are all the options in regards to the transport industry from a franchising perspective, even maybe a contracting perspective, and what sort of earnings does all that entail, what is the buy-in and so on. And they've done, again, a lot of some background work so they know exactly what else is out there, because that perceives me to believe that obviously they're really serious about doing something different, not just so much coming in for an interview and just nodding their heads up and down, yes, 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 and that's basically it. They're just looking at it as a job, if I can call it that. It's more so they're looking at investing their time and their effort and their money to something that's worthy. So that's one factor that I always look for. They look into, franchising as a whole. What does it actually entail? What does it mean? What are the advantages of being a franchisee literally in any type of market compared to being a wages salary earner? And I suppose how much extra freedom you have and how committed or how in the business are you compared to be on the business, and what it is that you really want. So as long as they sort of can convey to me that they understand it and they understand the commitment that they have to put in it and they've done their research, pretty much gives me a good indication as to whether they fit or what sort of franchise partner that we're looking for.
Great. What type of training and support do you provide?
From training support perspective, we have, first of all, franchise territory managers, and each of these franchise territory managers are our frontline managers to the franchise partners, and they're all allocated one zone, and that zone consists of roughly between 12 to 15 franchise partners only. So literally only managing 15 people, if I can call it that. And they would provide the franchise partners all the information and the support and the tools in regards to, okay, how do you approach customers and basically get them to understand what our offer is, and via several different means, one being on the actual handheld device that they have, which we call CPGO, where they can generate a lead. When they're attempting a pickup or a delivery at a particular location, they will know whether a customer or not. So it would train them to obviously how to approach, let's just say, someone who's there behind the counter. Can you, give me the distribution manager's name, their contact details? The franchise partner will put that in CPGO. That will then shoot up to our telesales team who are hungry for these leads. They will then make contact with that particular location and say, hey, good morning or afternoon, whatever it might be. A franchisee was there just recently. What do you move? Who do you use? And we'll try and obviously get them on board and have them as a customer of Couriers Please. There's also the mechanism of where we have sales executives dedicated to our depots, where the franchise partner can reach out to them as well and basically give them some details of a particular customer that they know could be sending out quite a high amount or a high volume of items, where the sales executive can then go and visit them and try and get them on board as well. And there's also the training side of things in getting the franchise partner to understand, obviously, all of our rates and services, so they're comfortable with approaching a customer and just giving them a brief understanding of what we have on offer. And a good majority of our newly generated business does come directly from the franchise partners themselves. It just takes a good 2 or 3 months to get your head around, obviously, our operations once you commence, and then understand the whole sales aspect of it all. All that support and all that training can be offered by both the franchise territory manager, in short, we call them FTMs, or the sales executive as well.
Thanks, Iggy. You mentioned that areas and territories earlier. Can you give us an idea of your approach to selecting territories and the market analysis around that when deciding new locations for a franchisee?
Yep, that's a great question. Look, we've got roughly about 800 franchise territories nationally. Obviously, 40 years ago, we only started with two. And now we have literally 800. And as a territory grows and a particular franchise partner within the territory, if they find that they cannot cope with the workload, so obviously pick up and deliver as per the advertised service schedule, or they can't make the connections back to the depot, let's say, they would then split that run in half and they could sell the other half. And as long as that other split is earning a certain amount of money, we'd have a certain amount of earnings, should I say, we would then approve that split and they would get that goodwill for that particular part that they're selling off. And what I left with, they will just obviously keep focusing and generating new customers based on what's left with them. Another way that it could happen is that we have outer rim areas. Obviously, we know that suburbia is sprawling quite extensively these days, where there's a lot of residential homes and so on expanding to the outer rims. So what we would do in those cases, we would then run a trial roughly between 6 to 8 weeks, where we would have one of our contractors go out there and just start performing pickups and deliveries and obviously showcasing, you know, our offer to potential customers out there. And just for that 6 to 8 week period, we'll then get a good indication as to what sort of volumes are going in to that area, being deliveries, which is obviously organic, and whatever potential of new businesses or industrial parks that are about to be built there or probably are built there with items going out. And if that earns, again, a certain amount of earnings, we would approve it. And then we would obviously even provide some type of income guarantee as a bare minimum during the infancy of that particular territory to support whichever franchise partner comes aboard to make sure they keep their head above water during that development stages of that territory, anywhere between 6 months to 12 months. And then obviously they'll be getting all that support from our sales people and what we call our franchise territory managers in growing that area.
Thank you. Now, how does Careers Please stay ahead or up to date with consumer preferences and trends? And how do you think that influences your strategy for franchise expansion?
Yeah, the trends that seem to be happening, obviously, we are associated with the Franchise Council of Australia and other such bodies where we get a lot of feedback on what the trends are. And obviously, the current one is the e-commerce market being what it is. So one of those changing consumer preferences is that obviously people are buying a lot more online these days. But unfortunately, a lot of them have obviously deliveries within their residential address or where they live, but they're not always going to be home, even though they might be planning to be home. So what we implement or we have implemented is that, for, as an example, is like delivery choices, where what that means is that if a particular customer has used Careers Please either directly or through a broker, let's just say, they would get a notification either via email or most likely via SMS of the item that they've ordered somewhere around Australia through us, and we'll give them a quick briefing of the con note number, what the expected ETA is of that particular item. And they can then make a choice of, okay, do they want to redirect it to somewhere else, maybe to a neighbor or to a completely alternative address because they know they won't be home within that approximate time. They could also delay it by several days if they wish. And if they don't take any of those options, we also have what we call pop shops. So therefore, as the franchisee arrives to that particular residential address and a signature is required for that item, but unfortunately that customer isn't there, the redelivery card process is in place where then that would be left behind for that receiving customer to know that we were there and would guide them as to where the pop shop would be, but very local to them. Wouldn't be more than 3 to 4, if not 5 Ks away somewhere. Could be a BP service station, could be a news agent, and there's a couple of other retailers that we use as well, where they'll just take that card and pick up that item themselves from that particular location instead of waiting for us to get back there sometime a little bit later on. That's one aspect of how we move forward and trying to please and stay with the expectations of making sure that our customers are fully aligned with us as to how they can make adjustments and make sure that from a last mile perspective, they receive their freight within a timely manner.
Yeah, excellent. And I know COVID seems like in the rearview mirror, but how you find the market after COVID to now, especially in relation to delivery and courier services?
Look, that's a great question. What we find, it is quite up and down, a bit of a yo-yo effect, if I can call it that. There are times where it just breaks at the seams and we can't keep up. If we can't, again, we, as I mentioned earlier, we'll create new territories to accommodate that. But then you have a bit of a lull. But again, with Careers Please, when it is a lull, to be quite openly and honest about it, we actually say to our franchise partners, look, enjoy the lull. It's a bit of a break. Have a bit of a, take a deep breath and enjoy, I suppose, the work environment that you're in, because sooner or later, it's going to kick in again and it doesn't take very long. Focus on generating new business by handing out flyers and so on if they do find they've got a little bit extra time out in territory. But COVID has caused a bit of a yo-yo effect where it's very difficult to estimate or predict what will be happening the next month or the month after that. But all indicators do show that we are growing on a year-to-year basis, especially when we head to peak period, being obviously the last week of December of every year, and it just goes up 10 or 15% in that period. And then January is nowhere near what it used to be 10 years ago, where it'd be a complete lull, whereas now it's literally the same peak volumes we had the year before in the month of January. So COVID hasn't really affected much, other than very hard to predict what you might be doing the following month. But the lulls are rare, but again, they do occur, but again, not an issue or of any concern.
Now, looking ahead, what are your plans for continuing to grow Couriers Please through franchising? And do you see any evolution in the model as you continue that expansion?
Look, the only evolution that I can really think about is, again, we all know AI and what's happening in that space. And I think one of the big things that will happen in regards to that, there'll probably be more tailored offerings to customers and individuals being those customers, thus enhancing that customer loyalty. And that, as an example of that, would be if we have a customer and the AI system or AI can pick up on the fact, which it will, what sort of freight or what sort of items do they generally move around? And if it's, or even maybe a customer receives. And if you find, as an example, comes from a winery, well, obviously the system will pick up, well, obviously this person is a wine person, and that's probably their hobby or probably their main interest, or maybe even business. And therefore, what will happen moving forward is that we would then, if we get a new customer, say it's another winery somewhere out of Adelaide that's coming on board, we would then obviously shoot out an email to these customers to let them know of this new customer coming on board. They're aware of it, and obviously they'll probably know of this particular winery, let's just say. So therefore, that there will be that connection of, okay, well, they're with us now. Maybe, you know, you can work with them as well. Maybe have some correspondence, and between the two of you, there might be something there. And being a customer of ours, we'd obviously give out better rates in a way. So again, I think AI is the way where we'll just personalize and offer tailor-made solutions to people and make them aware of what their main sort of like produce is as they're transporting it around Australia to different points and either making money or just enjoying whatever that content may be.
Now, the opportunity is obviously pretty strong for the right sort of person. Do you have any advice for someone listening to this, generally listened to by business owners or people could be looking for that first time for a franchise or even the second, third time to get into a business? Do you have any last-minute advice or advice that could potentially tip them over the edge or anything to look at before they get started?
Again, before they get started, probably going to touch on what I mentioned earlier on in one of the early questions, of that being, again, really familiarise themselves with franchising and the franchise code, which is very pivotal in what we do. And the franchise code, again, is there to protect, especially new incoming franchisees. It then looks to protect the existing franchisee and literally the franchisor, which is us, is third. And there are a lot of elements in the franchise code, which is law, that we have to abide by just to make sure that everything's open and transparent. So make sure that they familiarise themselves with that and understand that there's, from a sham contracting perspective, is literally impossible because there are so many penalties involved with the franchise code that everyone has to abide by. So making sure that they understand that part. But again, going back to that due diligence of having a look what else is out there, what does the market have to offer and what you're looking for, especially within the transport industry. And I actually challenge people when I interview them to do that. And if they can find a better offer compared to what we have, by all means, reach out and let me know what that is. And so far from what I've seen and what our team have seen, the offer that we have at the moment or even have had in the past, it's extremely competitive, again, at a very low cost. And another reason why I'd like them to reach out to others is just to prove to them, I suppose, that the offer that we have is pretty much not just that much a standard offer. It's actually quite a lucrative offer. And the end game being that they can still put themselves in a position to be a high-end earner and put them ahead of the curve in regards to earning as much money as they can till a certain date where they can't work no more and retire gracefully and happily and have a good income or even investments during that retirement stages, instead of being, a wage and salary earner as well as. So that would be my advice. And just never to treat it as just a job. It's high potential, and the opportunities there to actually keep increasing your earnings on a regular basis is always there on a week-to-week basis. So you never have to worry about waiting for your, let's just say, your annual review and to see whether you will be able to, increase whatever your wage or salary may be. The potentials are there, and you have that whole support mechanism around you as well.
Obviously, you're very passionate about what you're doing there, Ziggy, but just a final question, what's driving you to do what you do? What's really getting out of bed in the morning with Couriers Please?
That's a great question. I love the fact that when I go to bed every night, I sleep with a very clear conscience, and that being that I know what we have on offer, and I know that the potentiality of franchise territories and what we ask in return for whatever the deal is, if I can call it that, is at a high end. And even if we talk about worst case scenario, where just say it hasn't worked out, the franchise partner has been with us for a couple of years and it's just not exactly what they wanted, there's no great loss as well. They still got a van, they still got a vehicle and the equipment that they have, they still got their PTY to their company. If they want to try something else, by all means, there's no real great loss. And like I said, the cost involved, the goodwill, is relatively low, especially if you're buying one of our vacant territories, which we are always advertising from my role at what I do, compared to buying off an existing franchisee who's selling. And like I said, that a lot of them sell what I call blue chip runs. Again, when you're talking about earnings of $3,000 to $5,000 on a regular basis, that's quite high. And to get yourself ahead of the curve, like I mentioned before, that's all I can really say.
Thank you, Ziggy. Now, what are the best ways to get into your business?
So there are two ways of getting into one of our franchises. There's a more traditional way, and there's also what we call a vacant territory way. And the more traditional way is, that's what I call it, is that you'll have an existing franchisee who's been with us for who knows how long. Many of them have been here for well over 20 years. They decide to sell. They will advertise accordingly, or a member of the public will then see that advertisement somewhere. Let's just say on Seek, they'll make contact, and from there make an informed decision whether they wish to purchase that territory off that selling franchisee in a territory that's well self-efficient. The buyer would then get full training from that exiting franchisee. That exiting franchisee will then walk away with that whole goodwill, no commission to couriers, please, no different to if that buyer at any point in time somewhere down in the future decides to sell as well. Also, no commission for couriers, please. And they would go through the whole training for at least a good 4 weeks with that selling franchisee and obviously get into a goodwill run. The other way of getting in is that you come in into one of our vacant runs. The buy-in is anywhere between $15,000 to $25,000, which is part of an income guarantee of a certain amount that we will pay per week as a bare minimum to keep the franchise partner head above water during that whole development and growing the business. So that's about the last thing I really would just like to say in regards to that. There's two different options. It just depends what you want, your expectations are right off the bat. Are you happy to spend a good 12 months to 18 months or 24 months developing to that particular level? Or do you want to purchase a self-efficient run that's earning already that amount of money, but obviously with a greater goodwill or a greater investment as well? So that would be my advice, just to make sure you understand your own expectations coming in and what you want out of it eventually.
Excellent. So thanks very much, Ziggy. So look, we've been speaking to Ziggy Maravich, who's the National Franchise Recruitment and Development Manager at Couriers Please. Thank you so much for talking about your story, as well as the potential strategy, as well as the potential in terms of a new franchisee coming on board with Couriers Please franchise. It's been very insightful. Look, we encourage anyone interested. We'll have some contact us options near the podcast, and we'll also be distributing this across our different channels. Please put your name down and one of the team will be in touch with you ASAP to get your journey going with Couriers Please. Apart from that, Ziggy, great having you on board. We'd love to have you on again soon for an update with your inevitable expansion with Couriers Please. And it was a pleasure having you on today to enlighten our audience as well.
No, thank you. It's been a pleasure doing this, and I'm happy to do it any time again. And it's been very nice, very good. Thank you very much.
And that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us, Ziggy Maravich. It was a pleasure learning about Couriers Please and your fantastic franchising opportunities. Now, for anyone listening to this podcast who would like to know more about this opportunity or kickstart the franchise process, click the drop form link in the show notes to submit your interest, and the team at Eden Exchange will get in touch as soon as possible to set you on your franchising journey. Eden Exchanges was brought to you by the team at Eden Exchange. In this episode, we spoke to Ziggy Maravich, who is the National Franchise Recruitment and Development Manager at Couriers Please. To find out more about Couriers Please and their franchising opportunities, or to discover other episodes by Eden Exchanges, head to our website, www.edenexchange.com. If you're looking for a way to simplify the business buying and selling process, then our new virtual lead room, Deal Exchange, is exactly what you've been looking for. You can learn more about the platform by visiting our website or by getting in touch with our team. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Eden Exchange for the latest updates, news, and opportunities in Australia's trusted business marketplace. Thanks for listening.